Hubbardbroadcasting.com.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Wellness DC, hosted by Dr. Richard Giannotto. Dr. Giannotto is the founder and medical director of the Giannotto Clinic in Tysons Corner, Virginia. The Giannotto Clinic specializes in microsurgical hair restoration, skin care, and renewal, and quality of life for wellness medicine. Now, here's Dr. Giannotto.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to Wellness DC. God, you know, I had every intention of coming to the studio last weekend to do a live broadcast, and because of the media's take on the snow that was going to happen and supposed to go into Saturday morning, I chickened out, and lo and behold, you know, I could have come. I apologize for that. Anyway, it's good to be back. I'm back for a while before I head back to Italy. And what I want to say is that we're going to talk about something very common today. And if you want the text of what I'm talking about, go to the Giannotto Clinic Facebook page and my last two posts, the post this past week, there are two posts, one on Monday and one on Wednesday, are a summary of what we're going to talk about. So what have human beings suffered from for ages? What is probably one of the most common problems that most humans have today with eating their food? And if you guessed heartburn, you're correct. And you know, heartburn has been around for ages and ages and ages. But its counterpart, gastrointestinal reflux disease, GERD, GERD, has only been recently recognized as a disease, all right? So we refer to, you know, heartburn symptoms can be due to any number of one problems, but GERD, or gastrointestinal reflux disease, is probably the most common. And GERD is defined as having chronic symptoms or mucosal damage. Now, the mucosa is the lining of the gastrointestinal wall. So you can have chronic symptoms or damage to this intestinal wall resulting from abnormal reflux of gastric or small intestinal contents into the esophagus. So think about that. There is a valve at the border of the stomach and the esophagus. And when food passes through the esophagus into the stomach, that valve should shut. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes things that you eat, things that you do, cause that valve to be a little lax. And when it is, acid from the stomach, which is needed to digest foods, refluxes into the esophagus. And what happens is you get symptoms of heartburn. Very simple, but yet very complex. Likewise, there is a valve between the stomach and the beginning of the small intestine. And sometimes that valve weakens. And when both valves weaken, you can actually get juices from the intestine spilling into the stomach and then into the esophagus. And that's very, very severe GERD, gastrointestinal reflux disease. All right. So what happens, the reason this is dangerous is because when this becomes chronic, you actually get damage to the wall of the intestine, the lining of the stomach, and this can result in a number of problems, not least of which is cancer of the esophagus. So we have to be on guard. Heartburn is not a simple problem. The disease, GERD, and its treatment have been the target of aggressive pharmaceutical marketing to professionals and consumers alike. You see the commercials all the time. Eat what you want. You know, don't worry about it. Just take Pepto-Bismol afterwards, or, you know, Tums or Rolaids or anything like that. The problem is none of these medications were ever meant to be taken chronically, just like any medication. And if you look at the labels on these over-the-counter preps, you will find that you shouldn't take Rolaids or Tums for more than 90 days. And you shouldn't take Zantac or some of the other, or cimetidine or some of the other blockers for more than 14 days. Yet people are taking them day in and day out, and physicians are prescribing the pharmaceutical grade of these drugs day in and day out, not realizing that the long-term damage that they're doing. All right. The third best-selling class of pharmaceutical drugs in the world, the third best-selling class, are protein pump inhibitors. These, and in 2010, think about this, this class of drugs accounted for $24 billion, with a B, dollars in sales. These are being used by a lot of people. And once you use them, if you try to wean yourself from them, you're going to find that you can't, because your symptoms are going to get worse for a while. And the pharmaceutical industry knows this, and they're just happy and gleeful because you have to stay on their protein pump inhibitors and make that $24 billion, $48 billion in the next 5 years. So, symptoms related to gastrointestinal reflux disease are some of the most common complaints to the primary care physician. Think about it. GERD affects 30% of the population in Western countries, and now is considered, definitely considered, an increased risk for erosive esophagitis. Remember I said the lining of the esophagus will eventually erode. Strictures in the esophagus, meaning that as the lining of the esophagus erodes, scar tissue comes in to heal, and this can cause strictures in the esophagus, causing you problems in swallowing your food and then causing further problems in digestion. And not so uncommon, but still a little uncommon, is Barrett's esophagitis. What that is a disease process where the esophagus meets the stomach, and constant acid bathing of those cells in the esophagus causes them to change their shape and eventually to metastasize as a tumor, as esophageal cancer. So this is not a good thing to have. Chronic GERD is not a good thing to have. Mounting evidence documents harm from long-term use of drugs that suppress acid. Okay, so all of these drugs, including Tums, including Rolaids, including Zantac, including Cimetidine, including all of the protein pump inhibitors or proton pump inhibitors that we'll cover later on, all of these drugs with long-term use, are you ready for this, will cause osteoporosis, depression, vitamin B12 and mineral deficiencies, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and that's a bad problem because with small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, you end up getting food allergies, food sensitivities, immune disease. It's not a good thing to have. Irritable bowel syndrome and even pneumonia. I'm going to read that list again. Think about this. Chronic use of these proton pump inhibitors, chronic use of Rolaids, chronic use of Tums, chronic use of any of these acid-suppressing drugs will cause osteoporosis, depression, vitamin B12 and mineral deficiencies, and that's an important one because your metabolism is going to run awry. Small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, irritable bowel syndrome, and pneumonia. So think about that. There are ways to get off of these drugs, and we'll cover that later. It is clear because of this, you know, we really need a new approach to address the underlying causes of gastrointestinal reflux disease. Ideally, by limiting the use of pharmacologic agents and relying more on nutritional, dietary, and other lifestyle therapies targeted towards removing the underlying causes and restoring normal intestinal function. It's like anything else we've been talking about, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to rely on pharmacologic agents. You know, it's funny. Yesterday I was watching Squawk Box on CNBC, the morning show, and they had a whole show devoted to modern medicine and the pharmaceutical industry. And one CEO of one company actually got on the show and was describing this new research they were doing about a drug which mimics the actions of the brassica family of vegetables, which are, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, kale, all of those vegetables. And he says, you know, this will really reduce the rate of some major cancers, when people start taking the drug. The problem is the research and development, the R&D going into this drug is so expensive that the drug is going to be very expensive. My question to you is this. We know that brassica vegetables markedly decrease the rate of breast cancer and prostate cancer in men and women, respectively. Why not just eat your vegetables? Why are we going to spend tons of money researching what we already know and then take a pill instead of eating your vegetables? This is the problem that we run into now. Chronic use of drugs results in side effects that compound the problem drastically. And what is the pharmaceutical industry's response to that? Well, if you have osteoporosis, take this drug. If you have pneumonia, take this antibiotic. Antibiotics will further complicate things by causing small bacterial overgrowth. And what is the pharmaceutical industry's response to that? Take another drug. We're going to be living our lives, instead of eating food, we're going to be living our lives taking pills 17 times a day. Can't have this. Lifestyle changes are important. Nutrition is important. As with anything else in life, as with any other chronic disease in life, in order to stop it for good, we need to address the basics. Now, conventional approaches to gastrointestinal reflux disease, including limiting dietary triggers. For instance, I know in my case, if I eat pasta with a pesto sauce, I'm going to get gastrointestinal reflux disease. I just know it. It's happened time and time and time again. So I limit that trigger and I avoid it. And I will taste it, but I will not have a full meal of it because I don't want to get the gastrointestinal reflux disease. So that's a dietary trigger. For other people, wine is a dietary trigger. For other people, coffee is a dietary trigger. It varies from person to person. Some people elevate the foot or the head of the bed when they sleep so that the gastric contents don't spill into the esophagus. And this seems to work a little bit. And then most people, unfortunately, take pharmacologic treatments such as antacid, H2 blockers, protein pump inhibitors, and motility agents. And these are effective immediately upon use. But if you try to stop them, they lead to a rebound symptoms resulting in reliance upon them for the long term. We're going to stop here for a commercial, and we will continue when I get back. See you soon. Hi, this is Dr. Giannotto, and for 25 years, I've been helping men and women like you with hair loss prevention and restoration. You know, a full head of hair makes you look better and feel better, all while improving your self-confidence. And now I'm proud to announce that the Giannotto Clinic is the only clinic in Virginia that offers all three major hair restoration procedures under one roof. We have ARTIS and NeoGraft, the two automated robotic follicular unit extraction procedures, and we have the tried and true follicular unit transplantation strip method. Now you can find a perfect fit with the procedure that works best for you, and in one half day begin your journey to natural, permanent hair. We make all three procedures affordable, and our consultants can match your lifestyle and desired recovery time to a specific procedure. Your results will be precise, permanent, and aesthetic. Call now, 703-556-4247. And when you call, make sure you ask me about SmartGraft, a new procedure involving more precision in less time than any other FUE method. Call me now, 703-556-4247.
For the past 20 years, Dr. Giannotto and the expert staff at the Giannotto Clinic have been Washington's leader in hair loss prevention, restoration, and age management. And now the Giannotto Clinic is proud to introduce genetic testing in its age management program. This proactive program is based on each individual's genetic makeup. As you age, you can look better, feel better, and live longer. Based on scientific knowledge, medicine, nutrition, and a healthy lifestyle, the Giannotto Clinic can combine preventative aging, hair restoration, and facial rejuvenation to help you turn back the clock. So whether it's low libido or you're just not feeling like your old self and want an energy boost in your life, both men and women are encouraged to call the Giannotto Clinic for a free consultation. 703-556-4247. That's 703-556-4247. While you cannot go back and make a new start, you can start today to make a new ending. Call 703-556-4247. That's 703-556-4247.
And we are back. We were talking about very uncomfortable heartburn or gastrointestinal reflux disease, which is the new quote-unquote disease on the block. And did you know that 1 in 10 Americans has daily episodes of heartburn? And of these, 10 to 20% have weekly symptoms, and 44% have occasional symptoms. So it is a widespread phenomenon. It has to do, really, with our nutrition, with the way we eat, with our lack of exercise. And the further problem with heartburn is not the heartburn itself, but the complications that can occur if it's not taken care of. And then the further problems of taking care of it is if you rely on chronic pharmaceuticals, you're going to get a whole host of diseases you never wanted. See, all of these pharmaceuticals have one thing in common. The logic is this. Acid from the stomach gets into the esophagus and causes symptoms of heartburn. So, the pharmaceutical industry says, let us suppress the acid in the stomach. So they invent all of these drugs. Some are called cephalosporin blocker, called H2. Some are called proton pump inhibitors. The others are antacids. And these block acid production in the stomach. There's only one problem here, ladies and gentlemen. You need hydrochloric acid in the stomach because if you didn't have it, you wouldn't digest your proteins correctly. You need hydrochloric acid in the stomach in order to produce vitamin B12 from intrinsic factor. We'll get into that chemical reaction on later broadcasts. But you need hydrochloric acid in the stomach to get calcium into bones. So when you chronically suppress acid with these H2 blockers, these PPIs, and these antacids, sooner or later, you're going to become vitamin B12 deficient with all of its neurologic consequences, including depression and even dementia. You're going to get osteoporosis. You're going to get small bacterial overgrowth in the intestine because you're not digesting these proteins properly. And that, in turn, can lead to food allergies, food sensitivities, autoimmune problems such as irritable bowel syndrome, and even some cases of Crohn's disease. So you know, this is a very, very complicated and chronic problem that we have to address. You can't just take a pill for everything and think it's going to go away. It has effects elsewhere in the body. Now, the functional and structural abnormalities associated with GERD are caused by exposure of the esophagus to recurrent episodes of acidic and non-acidic gastric reflux. Gastric contents may contain intestinal proteases, those are enzymes, as well as bile, acid, and pepsin. Pepsin is an enzyme which helps digest protein, right? Studies have shown that a combination of acid and pepsin causes more esophageal mucosal damage. Well, we know that, all right? And that's why the pharmaceutical industry has responded by creating several classes of drugs which suppress the acid. They figure you won't get heartburn anymore. GERD is, for the most part, considered to be a common, annoying, but mostly benign condition that limits the quality of life for millions of people around the world. But as we shall see, even though acid suppressive therapies, prescription, and over-the-counter remedies may be effective in reducing the symptoms, these therapies, as I have said and as we've demonstrated, may lead to unnecessary and potentially life-threatening complications. And again, this is nothing new. This is the general state of affairs with any disease. Even if you have hypertension and you're taking and high cholesterol and you're taking Lipitor and an antihypertensive agent, I can bet you that whatever you're on, including the statin, are going to cause complications elsewhere when you use these drugs chronically. I can tell you that without a doubt. It's the same when you have pneumonia with antibiotics. It's the same with anything where you're taking chronic drugs. It really is. So in the past, heartburn, let's go back before these drugs. Heartburn was traditionally treated with sodium bicarbonate and antacids such as calcium carbonate. So there followed a whole class of drugs called H2 blockers, and then out came the proton pump inhibitors, which are now the main treatment modalities. Now, just to bring it home, you know the antacids, the major class of antacids are Tums and Rolaids. H2 blockers include the drugs cimetidine, famotidine, and nizatidine, and rantidine, right? They all end in tidine because it's the same class of drugs. Proton pump inhibitors include omeprazole, pantoprazole, and esomeprazole. These medications, including antacids, were never, ever, ever meant to be taken chronically. They really weren't. And we have seen what rebound effects can occur when you do try to stop them. And we've seen the diseases that can occur when you continue them and take them chronically. Medication, chronic medication, no matter what the disease, think about this, will always result in permissive behavior. Andrew, my producer, said it correctly during the break. He, you know, you see Larry the Cable Guy on TV touting that you can eat anything you want because you have something that will neutralize the acid in the stomach. But he doesn't say a word about the complications that ensue when you keep taking this. Medicine gives us the ability to be permissive in any actions we want. And the problem is, instead of losing weight and eating less and eating fewer fatty-rich foods or attempting to isolate food triggers, people use and depend upon a pill. Now, seriously, this is a big problem. This really is. Now, what I'd like to show you is a couple of things that all of the chronic use of these drugs will do. And hopefully this will get you thinking about trying to get off of these medications. And if you need help or you need advice, feel free to email me. Feel free to contact me via my Facebook page. You can call the office. Go to the website, GiannottoClinic.com, and contact me through there. We're always willing to help patients. A woman came into the office the other day who listens to this show religiously, sat down with her, talked with her about her problems, and she'll eventually become a patient of mine. So, you know, feel free to call for advice. Advice is free, and I give it willingly. So let's talk about choices in life. So choices, you know, such as vinegar, spices, decaffeinated coffee, which increase stomach acid, also improve diabetes. So you use these acid suppressors for a long period of time, you may have an adverse effect on your diabetes if you're diabetic. All right. Suppression of acid function by using these medications for long periods of time impairs intrinsic factor function. What intrinsic factor is? It is a protein that is needed for the absorption of vitamin B12. And so long-term acid suppression results in vitamin B12 deficiency because B12 isn't absorbed. And vitamin B12 deficiency results in depression, neuropathy, fatigue, and dementia. So prolonged use of these acid-suppressing medications can result in that class of diseases. Now, stomach acid is required for protein digestion. And when proteins are inadequately broken down into amino acids, they travel further down the gastrointestinal tract where they can trigger food intolerances and immune upregulation. Studies demonstrate that antacid medications, including proton pump inhibitors and H2 blockers, can act as risk factors for food allergies and sensitivities. And we've already seen this because they do cause small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, which can result in food allergies and sensitivities. The puzzle is coming together. Now, did you know that in the presence of chronic acid suppression, when you take these drugs for a long period of time, a bacteria that's a normal inhabitant of your stomach called H. pylori, H. period, P-Y-L-O-R-I, can shift from a cohabitation status to a disease-causing status and can cause ulcers and can cause the progression of GERD to gastritis, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't a joke. This really happens. This is why GI doctors are very busy these days. Okay, the other thing that happens is PPIs, the proton pump inhibitors, actually decrease the absorption of thyroxine, the T4 hormone. And this is dangerous for those patients being treated with thyroid hormone thyroxine because it can cause a relapse into hypothyroidism. PPIs also decrease the bioavailability of vitamin C. So as I told you, you're ruining your metabolism by taking these things chronically. Protein and food maldigestion are also common side effects of acid suppression. Small bacterial overgrowth and gut dysbiosis, causing symptoms of bloating, gas, indigestion, and irritable bowel, are also complications. And finally, chronic use of these medications can increase susceptibility to multiple enteric pathogenic organisms, including Salmonella, E. coli, and Listeria. Case closed, ladies and gentlemen. You shouldn't be taking these chronically. So we will get into a program where we discuss some lifestyle changes, modifying our triggers, and doing things other than taking these drugs to help you live healthy, happy, heartburn-free life. Until then, be safe, eat responsibly, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Wellness DC with Dr. Richard Giannotto of the Giannotto Clinic in Tysons Corner, Virginia. Thank you, and have a pleasant weekend.
Green light. Hey girl, school zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Mike Causey on Federal News Radio.
I would rather give an ostrich a pedicure than play this.
Your turn with Mike Causey, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. only on Federal News Radio. Check out Mike's column, The Federal Report, weekdays at federalnewsradio.com, or sign up to have Mike's daily column delivered directly to your email.
You know, they're probably going to find out in 20 years that carrying one of these in your wallet causes your buttocks to fall off.
Mike Causey on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.